Well, good morning. It's good to be together as a church body and share together around Sunday school, around singing, around worship, and to bring honor and glory to God. I always find Sundays encouraging. I find myself singing the songs we sang Sunday mornings throughout the day, and this is a day of encouragement. The title message entitled, Let the Water Flow. How many of you love days off when you don't need to work? It's your day off. You can do what you want. Nothing to do, no schedules, no nothing. Just do whatever you feel like doing. I remember one of the first days I can remember having off is when I was dating. And I went to Longwood Gardens with Diane. And I just remember that day I didn't have to do anything. It was kind of weird because that was kind of like my first initiation on the farm. You don't have a whole lot of days off. And so I remember that day where we just were able to do nothing and except be together and enjoy Longwood Gardens. The question I want to ponder is, how many live our lives like that? How many live our lives in a day-off mentality? We can do what we want, when we want, and how we want. No purpose, no mission. Yeah, we go to work, provide for our families, but we just kind of meander through life without a purpose, without a mission. What is your purpose in life? What is your mission in life? Think about these questions. What am I here for? Did you ever ask yourself that question? Why am I here? Why did God put me in this earth at this time? Do I really matter? If I was suddenly gone, would anyone miss me? Does my life have any eternal value? Am I here just to live and die? About 6 years ago, I preached a message one time. I used this little bear as an illustration. You might remember that fella. Anyone here remember that guy? Anyone? Aaron does. Any thoughts? What comes to your mind when you see that fella? You could probably put someone's name to it. Like a Gary or a... He's not here, sorry. I shouldn't pick on someone who's not here. You wouldn't want to cross his path, would you? If you saw someone like walking down the street, you'd probably say, he's on a mission. He knows where he's going. He's sure about his path, and he sees the goal. And don't cross his path. He's on a mission. He knows where he's going. And he's passionate about what he's doing. A lot of things come to your mind when you look at that picture, as you ponder what he's really doing. What typifies your life? Are you like that bear? He's on a mission. You know what you're here for. You know where you're going. You're sure about the path and you see the goal. And you're excited about what you're doing. Or are you in the day off mentality where you're just meandering through life? Going to work, coming home. No real purpose in life. Well, if you're a child of God here this morning, you are called to serve. You are called for a purpose. You have a mission. You have a specific mission here on this earth. I want to read some verses. I want you to turn to them, and you can highlight them. If you ever get to the place in life where you wonder, why am I here? What am I really here for? These verses will assure you that God has a plan for you, a purpose for you. 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. I didn't write the chapter down. Thank God for computers. Chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3, 5 and 6. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed? Even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Talking about who was Apollos and who was Paul, but missionaries of God, servants of God, who God gave a specific purpose to minister, to have a specific mission. And God gave them a specific job to do. And they were faithful in carrying out that mission. I guess the question, do you believe that God has a purpose for you, a special task for you? That God put you here in 2010 for a purpose. You have a purpose for being here. Ephesians 2:10, turn to that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God's intentional about having you here to serve for a purpose, a specific purpose. God's intentional about that. Turn to John 17, verse 4. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do, Jesus speaking. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I have with you before the world began. Jesus came for a purpose. He accomplished his purpose, and he was going home to be with the Father. We are servants of the Most High God. We are servants of the Most High God to do his will, to bring him honor and glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, we are not our own, for we have been brought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Points to God has us here for a specific mission, a specific purpose. As Christians, to serve, to give, and to bring him honor and glory. Jeremiah 1:5, many of us know this, some of us have this on the walls of our homes. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as prophets to the nations. 2 Timothy 1:9, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. All points to the fact that God has us here for a specific purpose, a specific reason, and a specific mission on this earth, to bring him honor, to bring him glory. And I think of Jesus' life. Two words can summarize a lot of Jesus' life was to serve and to give. To serve and to give. And he's called us, each of us, to do that. And when we stand before God at the end of our lives, each of us will have to give an account to the gift God gave us. God gave each of us a gift. And you're going to have to give an account to how you handled that gift, what you did with that gift, the purpose you were created for. What have I done with the gift God gave me? Have I served myself, or have I served others? Psalms 139, verse 16 says, life is an open book. You watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I even lived one day. Do you believe that? That God knows everything about every day of your life. And God's created you for a purpose. He's put you here for a purpose. for a reason. Now I want to throw into that mix that we have an adversary, the devil. Each of us has an adversary, the devil, who is after us to destroy us, out to choke up our mission, out to destroy us from accomplishing that mission that God has called us to do. He's out to deceive us, out to destroy us. And I think we'd be very naive to think that that's not true. And each of us could probably testify. Irvin this morning was talking about how Satan's trying to destroy him and take him down and discourage him. And how Danny testified of what came into his life and what that could have meant for him. The Satan is out to destroy us. And it starts in the mind. It starts with thoughts in our minds. Like, it doesn't matter how I live. I can do what I want. I have no purpose. After all, I deserve it. After all, if God really cared, and you fill in the blank, if God really cared, you fill in the blank. I want to tell you this morning, these are lies. These are lies from Satan to destroy and to destroy the mission of God on this earth. And he loves to go against Christians who have a purpose and a passion for God. And he starts in the minds with doubts to deceive and to destroy. Keep that in the back of your mind as we go this morning. God knows everything about you. He knows who you are. He made you the way you are for a specific purpose for this time. Many of you have read the Purpose Driven Life book, and there's in there, Rick Warren talks about your shape. And he talks about your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. I just want to touch a little bit on maybe you're here this morning and say, I don't know what I'm here for. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what my gifts are. I don't know. I need some help. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on these, but you each have a unique shape to you. I'm different than Gerald. I'm different than Claire. I'm different than Jordan. We all are different. God's given all of us different abilities. He's given us all spiritual gift. Each of us as Christians have a spiritual gift, a gift God has given to you. And look at it as a spiritual gift, something that was given to you. When you were born, Jordan, God gave you a gift. And whether you know it or not, he's blessed you with a specific gift. And someday, as you develop your life, you will discover that gift. And my prayer is you'll use it for God. And each of us, I just picked on Jordan. But each of us has a specific gift given to us. And we're all not the same. We're all not the same gift. We all have a specific gift. Look at your heart. What is your heart? Your heart is who you are. It's your passions, your dreams, your ambitions, your affections, your hopes, things you care most about. Found a verse in Proverbs 27:19 says, as a face reflects the water, so the heart reflects the life. As a face reflects the water, so the heart reflects the life. The heart is who you are. It's your passions, your energies, your ambitions. What about your abilities, your natural abilities? God gave us all different natural abilities. We don't all do the same things. We all have different gifts. And that's what's great about the body. I'm not a very good mechanic. I'm not a very good carpenter at times. And there's a lot of things that I'm not as good as someone else about, that is someone else. But God's given me a gift that I can perfect. And God's given you a gift, a natural gift. Personalities. We all have different personalities, and we love to be around people and enjoy their personalities. some the people with life-giving personalities. Some are more jovial, some are more serious, and we need all types of personalities. And so we all have experiences. Life's experiences from our families we grew up in, we have different experiences. From jobs we did in the past. Our education varies. Our spiritual maturity varies. The gifts, the ministries we've been involved in varies. And some of our painful experiences of our past help shape who we are. And you put that all in a ball, and you contemplate all those things together, and it helps focus who you are and who God made you to be, and helps understand your calling in life as a unique, special person, and to help discern what God has for you, the mission God has for you here in this earth. Someone has said, you are what you are is God's gift to you. What you do with yourself is your gift to God. What you are is God's gift to you. What you do with yourself is your gift to God. And I love in Luke chapter 18, verse 4, I believe this is Jesus' mission statement. And open your Bibles to that, Luke 18, verse 4. I believe Jesus understood his calling, his purpose, his mission. And where I don't picture Jesus as that bear, I believe he understood his calling as much as that bear understood his calling in life or whatever he was after there. 18, verse 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus understood who he was. He understood his mission, his calling, his purpose in life. And out of his life flowed his mission. Everywhere he went, his mission just flowed out of him. It just was like a gush. And that's who he was. And it's like a picture of the Niagara Falls. Many of you have been there, and how the water just gushes out of the river and over the falls. And I picture Jesus' mission here on this earth of just flowing out of him, affecting many people. And I believe we as Christians are here to carry out the mission, each one through our unique shape. God has given each of us a different shape, but we are to carry out God's mission here on this earth. We are to preach the gospel to the poor. We're to heal the brokenhearted. Preach deliverance to the captive, recover sight for the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the salvation message we're to carry, that Jesus can set people free. He can release people from bondage. He can heal the brokenhearted, give sight to the blind, set at liberty those that are bruised. But then I pondered. So many times, I'm the bruised. I'm the brokenhearted. I'm the captive. I'm the blind. I'm the one that needs ministered to. My mind went to a story I heard recently. Back in March 29th of 1849, the people of around Niagara Falls woke up one morning. They didn't hear the normal sound of the water going over the falls. They thought the world was coming to an end. And for the next 30 hours, the water ceased to go over the falls at Niagara Falls. People were astonished. Many people walked across the Niagara Falls that had never had foot set on them before. After 30 hours, there became a faint roar up the Niagara River of water gushing down. And like a freight train, a tremendous roar came down the Niagara Rivers, and the falls started to flow again. And what had happened, the ice up in the Great Lakes, Lake Erie, had begun to thaw and had jammed at the mouth of the Niagara River. One thing I learned that one-fifth of the world's fresh water goes over the falls at Niagara. Anyway, it jammed the mouth of the Niagara River, and the water ceased to flow. First it was a trickle, and then it blocked it all together. And for 30 hours, no water came down that river. And people thought that the end was near. But then a warm wind started to blow, and it broke that ice open. And the water began to flow again. And as I ponder our mission here in this earth, what God has called us to, and as I reflected on how many times I'm the brokenhearted, I'm the captive, I'm the one that needs healed, I'm the one that needs sight restored. And the river of God's mission out of my life is narrowed to a trickle, and sometimes it even stops because of the things in my life that block that flow of the mission God has called me to. And the world around me asks the question, where is that life-giving water that once flowed out of my life? Where are the hands and the feet of Jesus that once flowed from my life? And those around you maybe wonder, has your love grown cold for the Lord? The love that once flowed from your life, now they see a trickle and maybe nothing at all. I don't have time to look at each one of those things that Jesus' life exemplified, or what he was called, his mission. But I do, one thing that jumped out at me that I believe is the number one tool of destroying the mission of God in our lives today. I believe the number one tool in my mind, it could be different for you, but the number one tool I believe that the devil uses to capture Christians and to bind them up is to capture us, to bind us up, to keep that water from flowing, to keep the mission of God from flowing out of my life. This morning I want to illustrate this. I asked Ben to come up and be my little guinea pig. Ben, come on up. Keep in mind, as we do this, this is how the devil works. Ben, are you okay with me? I want to see how many times this rope goes around you. Okay. You okay with that? Okay.
I guess so.
All right. I'm just going to tie her up here and see how many times this rope will go around Ben. You looked a little hesitant there. I don't know what that was all about. I told him I do have a knife along in case this doesn't work. All right, just a little experiment here. I want to see how many times. I could make U-turn, but yeah. You might get dizzy.
Probably.
Probably will get dizzy. If my rope doesn't get knotted up. Keep in mind, this is how Satan gets into our mind and deceives us. It started with a question. I put a question to Bennett. I said, you okay with me seeing how many times this goes around around you? And he hesitated for a little bit. You know, he wasn't quite sure. Why would a guy want to see how many times a rope can go around him? But he was willing. He thought about it and said, what can it hurt? You keeping track?
No. Let's count.
All There you go, brother. I just wanted to see how many times I could get that to go around you. But now that I think I've done, I'm just going to leave you alone. See if you can get out. See, I have a lot of control over Ben now. I can kind of just lead him around. He's kind of a little helpless. He could kick me, I guess, but I can just lead him around and do what I want. And you know, that's the way it is when we allow Satan into our mind. We have no idea or have no thought that by saying yes to seeing how many times a rope could go around you, that it would end up in bondage. That's the way the devil gets into our minds and binds us up as Christians with the thought of, it can't be that bad. You deserve this. After all, other people are doing it. Just kind of walk out of it. All right, thanks. And you know, that's the way it is. Before we know it, we're bound up. We can't move. We feel helpless to get out. Ben was just, I'm sure he probably could get out, but, you know, we get bogged down in Satan's lies. He comes into our mind with a thought. We contemplate it, we give in, and before we know it, we're bound. We're captive. We can be led around by Satan like a little pawn and feel helpless to do anything about it. Since 9/11, we've all been more familiar with the word terrorists. When I was in school, I don't even know if I knew what a terrorist was. But terrorists use different ways to manipulate and get what they want out of people. They use fear, they use knives, they use guns, they use bombs, they use death threats to control us. We hear coming over the news, Al-Qaeda does this, Al-Qaeda is saying this, be prepared. The warnings go up at airports, security is up at the height because of terror, the terror alerts. That's nothing new. Satan's been doing that from day one, from the beginning of time. And Satan has many tactics to hold many precious souls captive, many who had no intentions whatsoever of ending up being captives. Revelations 12, verse 10 says, Satan is an accuser of the brethren. He's a liar and the father of them. And from the very beginning of time, Satan's been using this terror on people. And Adam and Eve, he got them to think in their mind, hath God not said, or you will be as gods, you shall not surely die. He gets into our minds with thoughts and lies, which leads to actions, a sin against God. In the Adam and Eve's case, it was worry, and they hid themselves from God. And they were ashamed to be in God's presence. When God came walking, they hid, and they were ashamed. Which leads to bondage, of being tied up, unable to break free, confused in our mind of knowing right and wrong, a truth from a lie. And although we're free from the human judicial systems, we're in a bondage, we're in a prison much greater and much worse. A cruel prison of mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. We're bound up. And that mission that God has called us to do is no longer flowing from our lives. The hands and feet of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 says, for our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Or in other words, our weapons aren't bombs or knives or guns, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. These things that bind us up are powerful. But God is more powerful. God can break these strongholds down in our lives. We can't fight the devil with guns, with bombs, but we can fight him with the weapons of God's word. Able to rip through the strongholds in our lives, those areas that we've given over to Satan through subtle deception. He can set you free. Question I want you to ponder is, has that river stopped flowing in your life? Have people around you noticed a different you? One that once was free is now bound. And it affects the mission God has called us to. Each of us have a mission. And when Satan binds us up and holds us captive, that mission is stopped, is slowed to a trickle and stopped. We can't share in forgiveness because maybe one of those things that's binding you up is you're not willing to forgive someone. You're not willing to let go. And Satan has in your mind that if I don't forgive, I hold power of that person. But in reality, I'm in bondage. And the string begins to wind around us. Like I was walking around Ben getting dizzy. As the string begins winding, we become more bound and bound until we're taken out of the fight, out of the race, and it stops flowing out of our lives. Maybe we can't share on anger because we're angry. I'm an angry person. I'm angry at someone. And Satan has gotten to my mind and said, if you hold that anger, you have power of that person. You can control that person. But in reality, the string is being wound tighter and tighter and tighter around you until you can't move. Maybe that string around you is Satan says, you have no purpose here in this life. You're worthless. Your life isn't going to amount to nothing. Begins winding that string around you until you can't move, until Satan can pull you around wherever he wants. Or maybe it's pornography or some other addiction that Satan is beginning to wind around you. You had no intention of going there or being bound. But you listen to the lie. We listen to the lie. Romans 12:2 says, be ye transformed by the renewing your mind. God is able to renew your mind, to transform us, to break us out of that bondage, to break those cords. My prayer is that you would allow God to melt the ice of bondage in your life and set you free. Maybe God is speaking to you about an area in your life where you've listened to Satan's lies. He's gotten your mind. And you said, you know what? You started to believe that. And Satan began to wind the cord around you. And now you feel you're bound. You're helpless to get out. You love to get out, but you don't know how. You're powerless to change. God wants to break those chains that bind you and set you free. Where you can be a vessel again, where God's mission flows out of you. Flows out of you to others. And to be excited about what God has for you as a child of his. To be excited about what he's called you to. The gifts he's given you. Not the gifts he's given your neighbor. Not the gifts he's given to your friend. But the gift he's given you. God wants you to be excited about that. To serve him. To honor him with your life. Again, I want to go back to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, we have access to the mightiest arsenal in the world. That's the power of God's word and the power of prayer. My mind went to Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 3 in there, where Peter was in prison. And what happened when Peter was in prison? The church prayed. The church prayed for Peter. Without ceasing, it says. And what happened at the end of that story? It says the chains were loosed, the chains fell off, and Peter was free. Wouldn't it be great if the body could gather around those of us who are in prisons to pray for the release, pray for those chains to be dropped, that you'd be free. be able to walk out a free man. I want to leave you with three verses of encouragement. Encouragement to guard your minds, guard your hearts, guard that gift God's given you. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Ephesians 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Isaiah 26, verse 3, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." What are you doing with the mission God's given you? Is it flowing out of you? Or has it been, that flow been blocked? Maybe it's another area in your life that you feel is blocking that flow. My prayer for each of us is that we would give that over to God. That Satan would be defeated from destroying each of us. That we allow God to break those chains that bind us and set us free. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this, who you are and who you've called each of us to be. Lord, you've been given each of us a mission. You've given each of us a gift, a special gift. God, you've called each of us to serve you in a unique way, to carry on your mission here in this world. Lord, there are times when we listen to Satan's lies, when we become bound. And it hinders that flow from our lives. Lord, this morning, if there's anyone here who is in bondage and feels like they can't get out, that they'd surrender to you, that they confess it to you and find victory and find freedom, that you loose those chains and set them free. If you're here, you'd like us as a church to pray for you, just slip your hand up. Maybe you're dealing with something that you feel you can't handle or you can't get out of. Slip your hand up, we'll pray for you. I see your hand. Yes. Lord, thank you for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, maybe there's some who just need to be encouraged to surrender. Lord, I thank you for those who have raised their hands and pray you'd minister to their hearts.